I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Oh, g'day everyone and welcome along to All Talk with Jason Mike. Very nice to have your company wherever you may be joining us. And thank you as always on behalf of myself and Mike for all the massive feedback that we've been getting throughout the last few weeks. All the people subscribing, Mike, it's fantastic. It makes me feel like we're doing something worthwhile here.
Yeah.
And at times I feel like we're not doing anything worthwhile here.
Yeah, I mean, in the room it would be very easy to believe, wouldn't it, that, you know, it is completely worthwhile.
Yes.
Because you come in feeling so good and you leave feeling so deflated.
Yeah, well, you do especially. You really drag your feet after a recording, I find, you know. You come in here all cock-a-hoop, you know, full of the joie de vivre,
exactly,
if I can put it that way, and then you leave as though someone's just smacked you around the head with a bit of two before.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I just think to myself sometimes, you know, I could still be doing furniture removal in Australia.
Yeah.
You know, moving furniture up three stories, you know, two different apartment moves a day. You know, I did that for 3.5 years. And imagine if I was still doing that.
Yeah.
How great my legs would look.
You'd be in fine shape.
I'd probably have a bit of a beer pot.
Yeah, you'd have a beer pot, for sure. A bit of overhang on the trousers.
So I do miss those days. But, you know, I guess this is what we've got in front of us, so let's just get it done.
Well, it's really interesting you should say that, because I often think back to the days when I worked at Greenpeace. God, I miss those days, mate.
Yeah.
Walking around, you know, neighborhoods, knocking on strangers' door.
Yeah.
People telling me to fuck off. You know, all of the good times, mate.
Yeah, man.
Oh, God, they were good times,
mate. You could be trying to raise money for Orange Peace and I wouldn't give a fuck. Now get the fuck off my lawn. Something like that, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was exactly like that actually on one occasion. But then you'd meet the odd nice person that would invite you in for a few beersies while you made your pitch. That was always – the problem that they had though is that when they invited me in for a few beersies to make my pitch, they couldn't get rid of me.
No.
You know what I mean? And they'd be like, okay, you've made your point, now you can leave.
Yeah.
And I've run out of beer.
Yeah, sure.
You know, so, but good times.
Oh, yeah, good times. Well, for you.
Hey, listen, I just want to give you some stats if I can.
I love stats. I'm a stats man.
We are currently 213th in Apple Podcasts in Hong Kong comedy, mate. Woo!
Kia ora, Hong Kong.
Thank you, Hong Kong. Can I also make the point, mate, that we are number 29 in Apple Podcasts in the United Arab Emirates.
Hey!
29, mate.
That's pretty
good. I think there's
only
30 podcasts for comedy in the United Arab Emirates, but to be in that, you know, that is
pretty
just,
good, isn't it?
It's sensational, sensational.
Things are really changing, man. They're turning around for us, eh?
They are.
Yeah.
I mean, we're still not making any money or anything.
No, I think we're sitting at about 200 in New Zealand.
Are we?
Oh, yeah.
And I will note that, you know, when it came to the money, you said, let's just make this an annual kind of thing, shall we?
Yeah.
We've got to get it up to a certain level before it's even worthwhile.
Before it's even worth writing the invoice.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. Yeah.
It 200,
you reckon? Cost me more money to write the invoice than it would be, you know, the amount that you're getting back.
Indeed. Hey, listen, last time, controversially,
we
had a massive and rather epic discussion about circumcision.
Yes.
And we put it out to the listeners out there because, let's be honest, looking back in hindsight, we were both taken aback. We both left this room. We both left that podcast going, my God, have I been wrong all this time?
Yeah.
And so we put it to the punters out there, mate.
We did, man. And that was that was a real learner for me because I had and you had, and it's amazing because you're the age you are. I'm in my mid-40s. And I had absolutely no idea that there were different kind of circumcisions. I'm being completely genuine there. I just thought that mine was the norm. And you obviously felt exactly the same
way. Likewise,
and I felt there was no – and given the amount of things that we talk about and the degree to which we push the conversation along those lines, I'm amazed that it's never come up before, either in conversation with you or on the ACC or with any of my mates, any male at all at any time.
Yeah.
you just hear the word circumcision, and yep. everybody in their mind thinks they're thinking the same thing.
Sure.
And we've found out that that's not the case.
Can I ask you, when you say everyone's thinking the same thing, do you have a visual image in mind when you're thinking that, or is it just, okay, the word circumcision, this is how it is? Or do you actually?
I think I get a visual of mine.
Yeah, I get a visual of mine.
Yeah, yeah.
Which makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, because totally.
I mean, I know my one better than anyone.
That's right.
And I am unequivocally.
I mean, I know some other ones to wave to on the street.
Sure.
So, g'day.
Sure, sure. But I know my circumcision better than anyone does.
Sure.
And so I was massively shaken by that conversation. I mean, I left the podcast really doubting who I was as a human being,
sure,
to be honest.
Sure.
And I know you kind of felt the same way.
Oh, absolutely I did. It's just, and not to the point where I'd think, oh God, what am I left with? Because we're both in long-term relationships and it makes no difference either way. The most important thing is not that we accept them, it's that our wives.
Our partners.
Yeah, exactly.
And not grossed out by us.
No, that's right. So, yeah, I was thrilled to uncover a little unknown nugget there. And I actually booked an appointment with the doctor.
Specifically for that reason?
Well, I had another reason to go.
Yes.
I went in there and I said to him, I've got three things to talk to you about today.
Okay.
Now, I've never seen this doctor before in my life.
Yes.
Because my one was away. I said, number one, I need to get some sleeping pills.
Yes.
Number two.
Do they work, by the way?
Yeah, they're really good.
Okay, good point. Good to know.
Number two, sperm count.
Right.
Number three, circumcision.
Sure. And did you list it off like that?
I did. I said, these are the things.
These are my bullet points?
And I said, and the order that we're going to talk about them in.
Okay.
And so got me sleeping pills. I'm all jacked up on those.
Yes.
Number two, me sperm count. Now, this is interesting. So we're trying to have another kid. It's taking ages.
Right, okay.
And I'm trying to get it over and done with so I can get on with my life.
Right, yeah.
So just gonna check it out. See if my swimmers are still swimming. In order to get your sperm count checked, you have to ejaculate into one of those little cup thingies. We all know the ones. And then you've got to get it to the place that does the counting.
To the lab.
To the lab there. And there's two ways it says on the form that you can do it. You can do it either one, or you can masturbate, which is fine. And then the other one, they said you can use the withdrawal method.
Right, okay, yes.
Are you familiar with
Yes, I am.
Well,
yes.
The way it was written there, I was like, what do you mean by the withdrawal method? And he goes, oh, well, you have intercourse and then you withdraw. Oh, I was like, okay. I thought I'd put like a syringe down the end of me.
Oh, right, yeah. And just literally it. Suck it out.
Yeah.
But it was
right.
Sitting there in some sort of reservoir somewhere.
That's right.
Yeah, okay.
And so, but then the problem is that the place where you take it is in Mount Wellington.
Yeah.
And you've got 30 minutes to get it to the lab.
Right.
Now,
yes.
I live on my bed's on Waiheke Island.
Yes.
So that's about a two-hour trip.
Yes.
So they're all dead by the time I get there. And if I took that in there, they'd say, I'm sorry, Mr. Minogue.
It's all over,
you've got
mate.
Something really wrong.
Yes.
So then alternatively, I'm staying on Queen Street at the moment. And even that's cutting things a bit close because I don't have a car.
Yeah, Mount Wellington's quite a way away from
it. It is
city.
Quite a way away. So yeah. I'd have to jerk it out into my little whom-I,
yeah.
call an Uber. Now,
yes.
sometimes when you call an Uber, it says 11 minutes away.
Yes.
Now, obviously, I can't afford for him to sit out the front of the hotel. So, and they don't offer at the lab. I thought at the lab they would have a room rammed with pornography.
Yeah.
That I'd be able to, you know, sort of swan through and spend a half a day.
Yes.
You know.
Get comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they don't have that.
Right.
You can only walk in and drop it off. So now I'm in a situation where I have to find a McDonald's.
Nearby.
Or a mobile, you know.
Petrol station, a Z.
Where I could just pop into the toilet.
Yeah.
And ring one out.
Just to see if you're unleaded.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So
I can't believe that. Is that seriously true?
That's 100% true. And I was talking to my wife about it, and she goes, well, could you do it at the hotel? I was like, well, that's the thing with the Uber. And I was like, well, what about work? And she said, well, no, well, if you got caught at work,
that'd
be the end of any career that you think you might have.
Yes.
Similarly, if I get caught masturbating in a McDonald's toilet, it's not a great look for me.
No.
Or in a car outside. I don't know what I'm meant to do.
That is fascinating. Yeah. I had not, because like you, I would assume that in a lab,
yeah,
that they would have a booth,
yeah,
that you would go into to do the business.
That's right.
I mean, because even if you do it in a McDonald's or a Zed petrol station, you've still got the conundrum of actually carrying it out. Of you know, has it got a lid on it?
Oh, it's got a lid. Yeah. No, it's got a little lid. But then also, you know, you're running the risk of not necessarily catching everything.
Sure.
And you know. I mean, yeah, I don't know. Do I want to connect the life of one of my children with that experience of masturbating in a McDonald's or a KFC? Do I want the smell of KFC or McDonald's in my nostrils while I'm trying?
God.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I had literally no idea.
And the doctor had no answers for me. He couldn't. That was not his area of expertise.
No.
And so then I said to him, you know, so we got through those and then got to the circumcision. And I said,
"This is the scenario."
Asked him if I could record the conversation, and he wouldn't let me do that.
Yeah,
because I wanted to play it back for the listeners. So I said, "This is what I've got." You know, a mate of mine have been having a discussion about this. It seems that there's two types of circumcision going on here. He's saying that he's still got foreskin left, and I've got none whatsoever.
Well, like an ankle sock. Yeah,
ankle sock. And yeah. I made the reference to my fingernail, that it just sort of stops there, the skin. And we're trying to work out who's right and who's wrong, or who's, you know, got the most. He goes, well, you know, there's no right or wrong circumcision. He said, I said, yeah, sure, okay, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
You know, this day and age, we've got to be like that. But, you know, potentially there's one that's more prevalent than the other, more common. And he sort of, you know, he looked at, shocked, to be honest, that we were having this conversation. And he sort of pushed back on his chair and went back to his computer and sort of turned to his computer and put his hands on the laptop there, on his, you know, it's a PC. And he goes, do you mind if I just have a quick look?
Yeah.
I went, yeah, no, good as gold.
Well, can I just recall at the time we were having this conversation, we were both determined afterwards to Google.
Yeah, that's right.
We went, we've got to Google
that's
this.
Right. Yeah. Now, let me just say, his body language, everything about it, he goes, can I just have a quick look, put his hands on the computer. What do you think I thought he was going to do?
Google it?
Thanks. Yes. He immediately stood up, pulled the curtain, and implied that I should get my cock out for him.
Right.
To show him. So when he said, do you mind if I have a quick look, he meant, do you mind if I have a quick look at your penis?
Okay, I've got you.
And I went, yeah, sure.
Sure.
I said, yeah, sure, thinking he meant Google it, but he meant
actually have a look. Yeah.
And being in New Zealand, I immediately got my penis out.
You went, no worries.
I go, you know, and had I have known that someone else was going to be seen at that day, I would have done a bit of prep.
Sure.
You know, I mean, even though it's a bloke, you don't want him thinking that you're keeping things a bit unkempt down there.
Sure. Okay.
You know, neat and tight, but it wasn't. Anyway, I showed him, he goes, yeah, that looks normal. I said, great. And his feeling was that the most common one is the one that I've got, but that there are variations where they don't get all the skin. And he didn't really have a reason for why that would happen. He goes, sometimes they just go a bit too far up. And I said, but this is interesting because neither Jace nor I have ever been told by a woman that we've got weird-looking circumcised penises.
Or a man, for that matter.
Or a man, for that matter.
Yeah.
Exactly. And he said, well, the only time, generally, that your wives will ever see your respective penises is when they are in a state of arousal. And outside of that, they're not really taking a close look at it.
Sure.
And I thought, well, that's pretty right, actually.
Yeah.
They're a hideous thing when they're...
Oh, they're ugly.
Yeah, grotesque.
Yeah.
Always averting the eyes. But anyway, we ran a poll, didn't we?
We did, mate. Well, I'm almost tempted to go and see your doctor and see if I'm normal now.
Yeah.
Because actually, whilst I said I was somewhat bemused by the conversation last week, I was also relatively confident in myself. And so now you've plunged me into an oasis
of
doubt.
Well, yeah, because as we talked about last week, the fact that I've been through all of our discussions, I've been through this traumatic circumcision where things have been ripped and pulled and all that sort. So it makes sense to me that I'd be in the wrong.
Yes.
And I was at peace with that. It's been a weird thing for many, many years now. But he said that the stitching thing, remember we talked about the stitching that I had around mine? and whether that would happen to a baby. It seemed like a fairly full-on thing to do to a baby.
Yes.
He said that they do it to babies, but what is more common is that they put a rubber band around the base, just between, you know, top of the shaft, underneath the tip.
Okay, we're getting a bit too specific now.
And that,
yes.
And that deadens the skin. And
well,
that,
it's like,
that
a, it's like a docking, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Okay. Well, you're right. We did put it out there.
Yeah.
And we asked for your opinion on this, and it's interesting. And it's once again plunged me into further doubt about who I am as a man. Mm. On the Instagram, Mike, 73 no skin, 27 skin.
Yeah, so that's percentage, isn't
percentage,
it?
Sorry. 73%. Out of 320 votes.
Yeah.
And on the Twitter account, 55% no skin, 44.3% skin, 103 votes. So that one's a little closer.
It is closer, yeah.
That makes me feel a little bit better.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But you've just told me what your doctor said.
Yeah.
And so I'm now in a situation where I feel like I need to be checked out.
Yeah. And I think you should, because it'll be interesting to see what your doctor says. Because I don't know about you, but if I'm a professional, if it's my job to do circumcisions,
yes,
I don't want a varied result each time I'm going in.
No.
If I lined up...
You want a stock standard procedure.
Let's say over the course of the week I do, you know, 600 circumcisions.
Yes.
I want, you know, another doctor to be able to go, oh, that looks like one of Minogue's.
Yes.
You know
I
what
was
I mean?
Just going to say, that's definitely a Minogue.
That's right.
You know?
So, you know, you want to have your technique down and they should all look the same.
Sure.
You don't want them being all over the fucking show.
No, no. That's a fair point.
Yeah.
And
it makes me, it reminds me actually of a co-worker of ours whose father performed circumcisions.
Oh, yes.
And I wonder, and it's just occurred to me now, so I wonder if we reach out to him, actually.
Yes.
And perhaps interview him.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think that's a, I've completely forgot about that, actually.
Yeah, so
that's actually a very good idea.
And let's just see, let's talk all things circumcision.
Yeah.
We'll have a get to the bottom of it,
as it were. well, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
You know, and there might be some people out there going, "Oh, shut up about the circumcision, you guys!" But actually, it's really important to know.
Well, it is. Well,
I'm just going. Crikey.
Well, look, we're trying to get men to talk more about themselves and open up, and so you can't tell us to shut up.
Yes.
Now, when it comes to men's health, and I think it's fascinating that this is a thing. You know, and I'm sure it's fascinating to our female listeners as well, because there's so many things that women don't know about men. For example, urinal etiquette. They don't know, you know, when we say, oh, we're just off to the bathroom, they've got no idea what goes on when we get into the urinal, that when you go into a urinal, there's etiquette that must be obeyed.
Yes.
Like if you walk in, you would take the corner in a urinal.
Always.
You would never stand in the middle.
No.
If you come into the urinal and there's somebody in the corner, you don't stand directly next to them. You take the other corner.
Yes.
All these sorts of things which women don't know about and are fascinated by, and I hope that this sort of falls into a similar category.
Yeah.
No, I am genuinely interested in
this. Yeah, well, as I say, at the time we were both very confused. hey, but let's crack into it, mate. And we've got a bit of general chat with Jace and Mike.
Attention! It's general chat with Jason Mike.
Here we go, Mike. This is from Hayden over the net.
Mm.
Hey, fellas. Sorry, I don't know who else to turn to with this one. It's shopping related. It doesn't matter what time of year it is or in what part of Aotearoa I'm in, when I need to get something specific, for example, some new rugby boots for my 11-year-old or an AB's jersey for a Christmas gift or something, there's never anything in store to suit. The stands are always full of Rabbitohs hats, triple XL Chiefs shorts or size 14 trainers on discount sale. Nothing anywhere near what I'm after, no matter what it is I'm looking for. How do these places know what I'm shopping for and manage to make sure they have all the wrong sizes and everything else on sale other than what I need or what I want?
Mm. Yeah, what a great question. And it is true, and I guess part of that, particularly when you're shopping for a Christmas gift, is, you know, Hayden, you're a male. No doubt you've left this to the last minute. So
I'm thinking so.
Yeah, so yeah. There's very limited stock left when you get in there. You know, all there is left is all the shit that nobody else wants, like Chief shorts.
Yeah.
Or massive shoes, or, yeah, indeed, Rabideau's hats.
And always those, you know, those shitty little items like that, they're always on sale because of the fact that no one wants them.
Yeah, that's right.
You know?
Yeah. So you've got to take some of the blame here, mate. You've got to actually plan ahead and get in a lot earlier and perhaps order some of these things online. That said, you know, a lot of the stuff that you're talking about here, like a triple XL Chiefs shorts, I mean, that's the most common size of short for a Chiefs fan. I don't know if you've seen the crowd shots whenever the Chiefs are playing, but there's some huge units.
Right, yeah, no.
You know what I mean?
To be honest, I don't really watch rugby anymore.
Nah, neither do I.
I find it a bit tedious.
So do I.
I used to be that guy that was a massive ABs fan.
Yeah.
And every time there was a test match on, it was like the biggest occasion of my life. Sure. Now I couldn't give two shits.
Yeah, well, I still watch me ABs. I used to watch every game of rugby available. You know, when Super Rugby first started out, I would not only watch the Hurricanes.
Yeah.
I would watch every other game that was on because it was Super 10, so that was five games a weekend. I can handle that. Super 12, six.
Yeah.
I'm pretty good with my maths. Once it starts getting into 14s, 15s and 16s, once we've got conferences and I don't know what's going on anymore, I'm just and the other thing is, once it's on 10 months of the year, I'm out.
Yeah.
I want it to be on for 3 months of the year, maybe 4 months of the year, and then I can watch, and then I've got a chance to miss it. But if it's on every week, I don't give a shit.
Yeah. I'm exactly the same, man. And yeah. Even, and I love my cricket. I've got a situation now with the cricket where it's just overkill for me.
Right.
You know, with all the 2020s and the one-dayers and the tests. I mean, I'll still always watch a test match, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I love a test match because of the vibe of a test match.
Oh,
I
yeah.
enjoy the,
no, totally.
The gentle nature of it. But just getting back to the question at hand, you know, but you're talking about the fact being a New Zealand male, of course, Mike. He's going to leave it to the last minute.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, you don't want to swing in the opposite direction with those absolute freaks that do the Boxing Day sale. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're ready to go for next year.
You know, and they immediately, as soon as Christmas is over, they're jumping into the Boxing Day sales, which is the biggest crock of shit I've ever seen in my life.
Agreed.
You don't want to go to that extreme.
No.
But preparation is key.
Well, yeah, well, I mean, this is the thing. All that shit's just, you know, the triple XL Chief shorts are just on more of a sale the day after.
Yes.
You know, so it's the same shit.
And I'm always dubious of sales anyway. You know what I mean? They'll go, oh, it's on sale. It's not on sale. They'll just say it's on sale.
No.
They're still making a huge profit out of it.
Yeah, exactly right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it's like your Briscoes, isn't it? Your Briscoes sale.
Yes.
Has anybody ever paid full price at Briscoes? You'd be mad.
Yeah.
You'd be mad.
But my argument is that their sale price is actually the full price.
They just say
it's a sale.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm with you.
But preparation is key. I got caught out just recently with my wife's birthday.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And I was leaving it for that. Then COVID hit. Mm. And we had that week-long shutdown. You know, and I couldn't go out. And I said to my wife, my darling, I apologize. I haven't got you. And she was like, that's fine.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, that's fine, Jase. Don't
terrified.
Worry about it. I don't need a present. And I was like, oh, shit, I've really dug a hole for myself here. But now, you know, it's got even worse for me, Mike, because the COVID lockdown, it's over.
Yeah.
And I still haven't got her a present.
Yeah.
You know, and now I'm thinking, I don't even know what I'm going to. I mean, maybe I should buy her some of those 4XL pants. Because I'm getting to that point where I've got no idea what to buy.
I mean, your wife would look great in a Rabideau's hat and some size 14
trainers. I think so.
You know?
But
is she a Rabideau's fan?
She hates rugby league.
Does she like rabbits, though? Or Russell Crowe? Because there's a Russell Crowe connection there.
I think that she thinks Russell Crowe's good in some films and shit in some films.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's enough to get her a hat.
Yeah, I think so. So I can. What you're saying that I should get her a Rabideau's hat and say, "Hey, it's Russell Crowe's old team."
Yeah,
and
you know
that,
how
that
Russ-
will give me some kudos somehow.
Russell Crowe owns Rabideau's, and you know how you thought he was all right in Gladiator. Well,
yes,
ta-da!
Yeah. But I'm seriously struggling on that front, mate. I'm seriously struggling. And I've made it worse for myself by not doing it initially. That preparation that you were talking about, it's all about prep. Whereas my wife, if there's a birthday coming up, or some special occasion, mate, months in advance.
Right.
She's sorted, man. She'll be fretting about a gift that's still 2 months away.
Yeah.
Whereas I fret about a gift that's a week late. You know what I mean?
I do.
That's the difference.
Yeah. I mean, she cares and you don't. That's the difference.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's the difference.
And I said to her, I said, I feel so bad because you always make such an effort for people. You know what I mean? Mm. You always go and try and do something special for them.
Well,
and here I am. I haven't even got you a present. She was like, I love giving presents. I don't care about getting them.
Right. Well, that's an attempt to make you feel worse, isn't it?
Well, yes.
You know, and I guess that's why you make such a good, great couple, is because, you know, opposites do attract.
Yes.
So if you've got, you know, a generous, thoughtful person on the one side, you can have a piece of shit like you.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, well, it balances out
in
the middle.
Yeah, exactly.
But then what will happen is I'm the sort of guy that will make up for a series of disasters with a massively extravagant overkill scenario.
Yeah, and then she doesn't like that
and
either.
And then she doesn't like it.
No.
Yeah. Like, I'll buy some ridiculously expensive bit of jewellery and she'll be like, ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Because you did that once at Christmas, didn't you?
Yeah.
And that backfired. She loved it, but she said, how dare you, we agreed that we wouldn't do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a case of not being able to win. I think the best gift that you can give a woman is a failure to remember to get them the gift so that they can hold it over you.
And just say, you.
See?
But they never do, though.
Well, no, but they do it in that way of going,
ah, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
It's no big deal.
Yeah. It's like in Australia. When I lived in Australia for about 4 years, and you're always getting hammered in the cricket. You're always getting hammered in the rugby league. And finally, when you get a, you know, and they'd rub it in when they beat you, you know, that you're just copping it the whole time. And then you'd finally get a victory. And you go, oh, I can't wait to get to the pub.
Yeah.
Can't wait to get to work and rub it in with old Rico down there.
Yeah.
And then you come in and go, God, your boys played well, mate. Well done.
Yeah. And they immediately undercut you.
Takes all the joy out of it.
Yeah,
if you're not going to be miserable, what's the point?
Yes.
And so I think there's a little bit of that at play. It's genius.
Yes.
It really is.
It is genius. But yeah, preparation. What was this? Was it Hayden?
Yeah, it's Hayden.
A bit of preparation, mate.
Yeah. I mean, they don't know what you're shopping for. I think the problem is that you don't know what you're shopping for early enough.
And of course, there's always online shopping, Mike.
Yeah, exactly.
Trade Me.
Yeah.
All that sort of jazz.
Yeah. Just planning ahead, mate. I mean, I think this is a classic case of a man wanting to blame somebody else for his own
ineptitude.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry,
so,
mate.
So, man up, Hayden. Own up, mate.
Yeah.
Take responsibility.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Right. What have we got now, Mike?
Got a bit of relationship chat with Jason, Mike.
I think she's cheating on me.
It's relationship advice with Jace and Mike.
Hey, fellas. Bit of relationship advice needed. This year, I've asked out 4 women. All of them are with somebody else. Is there something I need to know to tell if someone's in a relationship? Also, how do I get a woman? Thanks, and that's come over the Insta. I'm not going to use the guy's name.
Sure.
But what I am going to say is, he's in his early teens.
Yeah.
So he's right at the start, Jace, of interactions with women.
Yes.
And learning about all this stuff.
Well, the thing I find interesting right off the bat,
he's
in his early teens.
Yeah.
And he's looking to find a relationship with a woman.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, therein, first and foremost, lies part of the issue.
Sure.
You should be probably, if that's what you're looking for around your age group rather than a woman.
Yeah.
That maybe he's shooting above his level.
Yeah. Well, he might be, and you're right, I don't know for sure, he might be going for 40-year-olds. But I think the way that they term it now, I think the new term now is that you don't, if you're calling a female anything, you call her a woman, unless she's a child.
Right, okay.
For a girl. So I think you actually have to call them, once they sort of are of an age, they become a woman, then you can't call them girls anymore.
Right.
Is what I've been told. I don't know if that's true. So he's going up to, let's assume that they're his age, and he's asking them out, and they are saying that they're with somebody else.
Sure.
Does this ring a bell for you, Jason?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, we talked in the past about, you know, I was always the guy in my past that, you know, that woman would come and talk to about their relationships. Yeah. There was no interest in having a relationship with me other than as that friend that they talked to about, because he was no threat in any
That's
way.
Right. Hey, Jace, you look like a man.
Yes.
How do you think this man that I'm actually interested in having sex with?
Yes. Or I'm currently in a relationship with,
sure,
you know, and they'd pour out their problems to me.
Yeah.
As opposed to there being any insinuation or suggestion that they would be in any way interested in having a relationship with me.
No.
And that was where I was.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I feel almost unqualified in that regard, because I wasn't even in a position where I even thought about asking someone out. Because that's yep. the slot I was allocated from yep. a very early age.
Yep.
And that was a slot I was allocated that I lived with right into my early 20s.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
So in terms of, you know, being a young teenager, it was a troubling time for me, Mike.
Absolutely.
You know,
and I'm
mean?
Exactly the same. You know, yes. I felt like many teenagers, if not most, very awkward. You know, your body's changing. I had this head on a body that was about 4'2".
Yeah.
And, you know, it took me until I was about 38 to grow into my head.
Yeah.
You know, before it looked relatively normal.
Oh, look, mate.
Until people stopped pointing at me on the street.
And it was sort of just falling to the side.
That's right.
Because of the sheer weight of it.
That's right.
Yeah. Look, I can relate to that, because I've got a massive head, as you know. And I was even smaller than you.
Right.
I was even more diminutive.
I think you've got a really great head.
Well, it was huge when I was that age. But what I had, which was really off-putting for other people, was that I was this spotty, skinny little 12-year-old, right? And I would say to someone, "G'day, how's it going?" Seriously, man. And people used to go, "Oh my!" And I could see people recoil, because they literally went, "Where did that voice come from?"
Right.
You know, but I also had that horrendous,
your balls dropping,
going on.
Yeah.
And so I'd go from, "Geez, it's a fantastic afternoon, isn't it?"
Yeah.
You know, that was, which of course was another impediment to me talking to girls my age.
Yeah. And for every boy.
Yeah.
When your balls are dropping mid sentence multiple times,
yes,
and people are laughing at you,
yes,
it doesn't fill you with confidence,
and your head's lolling to the side because you can't carry the
you
weight
need a
of
nap
it.
I'm just going to put my head on the desk while I listen to this.
Yeah,
this feels like I don't need to be watching.
Yeah.
And so there's the spottiness, you know, there's the, you know, the need to masturbate so much, there's all sorts of things going on. So, you know, despite what whatever front that you're putting on is, there's not a lot of, you know, self-confidence in any teenage boy, I don't think.
No.
And if there is, they're a rarity.
And you've got to, and can I just quickly say too, generally speaking in terms of the sexes, you know, a teenage boy is quite vastly different from a teenage girl.
Indeed.
A woman tend to be, and it's a well-known fact, much more emotionally mature than a teenage boy.
Without a doubt.
Without a doubt. You
without
know,
a
so
doubt.
So they do have that maturity that a young 13 or 14-year-old boy certainly does not have.
I mean, this reminds me of my 12th birthday party, it might have been my 12th, but I just had some mates around, and there was a group of us, so it was like four girls and four boys, and we were best mates. And this is when it dawned on me that perhaps they had matured, the girls had matured beyond, something had happened at some point where, yeah, they'd left us behind.
Yes.
So they were staying over at our place. There's no thoughts of any sex at that age, from me anyway, and from them about me. But me and my mate Toby, we set up some mattresses in the lounge room.
Yeah.
Now, I know what you're thinking.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
No, you don't.
Get a little bit of a sleepover going on.
Yeah.
And so Toby would be in there on the mattresses, and I'd come running in from the hallway, leap off the arm of the couch and do a Superfly Jimmy Snooker splash on him. So me and the boys were playing WWF wrestling.
Yeah.
Well, my four female friends stood there with their arms folded.
Yeah.
Wondering what totally. The fuck the older guys were up to.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was having the time of my life.
Sure.
But seeing myself through their eyes.
Yeah.
It dawned on me, things are changing, man.
Absolutely. And I think that's a great example of the difference at that age, you know, in terms of, you know, we're, you know, playing WWF body slamming games while they're sitting in the corner going, what the fuck are they doing?
Yeah.
And, you know, I it was interesting because one of my daughters, when she had, I think it was like her seventh or eighth birthday party, she had a birthday party at our house, and it was just eight boys.
Right.
Like, all her mates were boys.
Yeah.
You know, and then by the time she'd reached her teenage years, it had changed, you know. And because I think there's some emotional equivalency, if I can put it that way, Mike, in terms of when you're young, seven or eight, you know, there's not that stark a difference. You get to the teens, boom.
That's right.
Women take off.
Yeah.
They grow. Boys are just interested in smashing the shit out of each other and making noise.
Yeah, exactly right. And then there's a sort of all of a sudden the feelings towards each other as you're going through those changes start to sort of veer off.
Yes.
And so the conversations you're previously happening aren't sort of connecting. I mean, it's a bloody weird time. So I sort of, you know, went through that period and then went through the period of feeling extremely awkward about myself, having no self-confidence and looks or anything like that. And so the idea of asking a girl out, I don't even know when it happened. I used to just get, as I got older, sort of 15, 16 onwards through to when I was about 30, I used to just get smashed drunk.
Yeah.
And if I ended up with a female, then that was just sheer luck.
Yeah, sure.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
There was never any, hey, look.
I was wondering if
I just saw you and I thought, you know, you're really attractive and, you know, I love your smile. I thought it'd be nice to spend some time with you, get to know you.
Yeah.
Wonder if you might want to come out and go for a drink. None of that shit.
No.
Which is just a straightforward human conversation.
Yes.
None of that.
Yeah.
And so let me just say that this young fella here, whose name we're not going to say, the fact that you've asked four women out at your tender age, you are miles ahead of the competition.
Yes.
Miles ahead.
Yeah.
So you just keep on doing what you're doing, and you are going to have a fantastic life.
Yeah. Oh, look, and I can totally relate to what you were saying there. Mm. I certainly didn't have the articulacy to say to a girl, would you like to go out with me?
No.
It was well beyond my capacity.
Absolutely.
And so I agree with you in the sense that this young fella, obviously, you know, he's got enough nous to go, okay, I'm going to give it a crack and ask a girl out and stuff. So, like you, I'm in agreement. I think he's well on the way.
Absolutely.
By the time he's 17, 18.
Absolutely off to the right.
Because unless, of course, he's completely destroyed by constantly being turned down.
Well, this is the thing. If you can ignore any voice of the fear of rejection, because that's what it is when you're younger. You're like, hey, do you want to go out with me? Go out with you.
Not a
go
shit show
chance. Big head.
Yeah,
you spotty freak. Deep voice. You weirdo.
Yeah.
That's what you think they're going to say. Well, you can't risk them saying it. But if you don't care what they say, because the worst thing that they can say, well, is that, but they very rarely do.
Yes.
But is no. And if the answer is no, well, then it's better that you know sooner rather than never.
Exactly.
Because another thing I used to do is do nothing when I had a crush on someone. And then when they started going out with somebody, and I knew that they had a crush on me, but I'd still be too scared.
Yes.
And then when they started going out with somebody else because I never asked them out, then I go, you know, will you dump him and go out with me? But I wouldn't say it. I'd get my mate to go and ask.
Right.
You
know, but, yeah.
That was when I was 11.
Yes.
You know, not when I was 18.
Yes. Well, I hope so, Mike.
Yeah. So the fact that you've got this going on, man, you are good as gold, because there should be no fear of rejection. All you're doing is asking quite a straightforward question. And if the answer is no, then the answer is no.
Yes. And I totally agree with that. And good on you for having the courage and the balls, because I certainly didn't at that age, and I think that's going to stand you in good stead. And you're right, what are you going to lose? They go, I mean, the worst that they can do is just go, Christ, no.
Exactly.
You know, and exactly. Then you go, okay, well, if that's how they feel, then there was never a chance here in the first place, so what have you lost?
And all of your mates will be left wondering, and all of your mates will be totally in awe of what you're doing.
Yes.
And they will try and crush you.
Yes.
So be aware of that. They will try and stop you from doing it. They go, don't do it, man. Oh, God, what are you doing? Oh, she said no. Ignore them.
Yes.
They are Neanderthals.
Yes.
You are a highly developed and progressed human being.
Yeah.
They are beneath you. So ignore your mates. And, you know, they're saying, these women are saying to you that they're with somebody else. That's a technique that women use. And it's called letting you down
gently,
yeah.
Yes, yeah.
And what they're saying is not necessarily that they are with somebody else, but they're saying, no, I don't want to go out with you, and their excuse is that they're with somebody else, and they may well not be.
Yes.
But it's a good indication of your taste that you are choosing women that are wanting to let you down gently. You know, they're not horrible people.
Yeah, rather than, oh, fuck no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking dream on, mate.
Yeah, not a chance in hell.
Yeah, so, you know, you're choosing well, and the only way that you're going to know if a woman is with someone is if they've got a wedding ring on. But chances are the woman you're approaching
aren't at that stage. Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, you're in the world of Instagram and all that sort of carry-on, so I'm imagining these are friends of friends, so you can ask around. But, yeah, look, I'll be honest, mate, we should be taking lessons from you.
Yeah, I think so.
Because you're far ahead of where either Jason or I was at your age.
Good on you, mate. Hey, well, that brings us to the end of the podcast. And as always, we'd like to thank you for taking the time to listen. And make sure you subscribe. And what's the other thing people do on podcasts, Mike?
They like.
And download.
They download.
Yeah, yeah.
They comment where they can.
We get these graphs, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
Which show us what's going on with the podcast.
Yeah. And well, we've had it once.
We've had one graph. And you and I love a good graph.
I love a graph.
And
so, I like a bar graph. That's my favourite.
You like the bar graph?
I love a bar graph. And I also like the plotted point one. I don't know what that one's called. It's been a while since I've been
I like the ones like the run chase.
Yeah.
You know, and the cricket. I like those ones, like the worm.
Do you think girls didn't want to go out with us because we're thick?
Yeah, probably. I like the worm graph.
Yeah, sure.
Just particularly when that worm graph is going up.
It's a line graph, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a line graph. Yeah, okay.
We knew.
Well, it's kind of, it's not a line, though. It's quite squiggly.
There's a squiggly, never-ending line, though, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah. But we do appreciate you taking the time to listen. Make sure you keep tuning in. And on behalf of Mike and myself, we'll see you next time.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.